of Cincinnati, where women gather to study God's Word. In the summer, then, this is an opportunity for fellowship to bring people that may not be in Bible studies during the school year, and just an opportunity to really learn more about what God is doing in the lives of women. So it's going to be an exciting day. Of course, as you can imagine, it takes a lot of people to pull this off. So I would like to recognize Dani Frappier, our chairperson, and her committee. So any of the Outpost committee women, could you please stand up? A lot of them are out there in the back, so you may or may not get to see them. You can identify them by the tags around the neck. So if you have any questions or would like to introduce yourself, it's always a great opportunity to make a new friend. And so I hope that happens for you today. We are also certainly very grateful that you are here. And I'm curious as to how many first-timers we might have today. How many are here for the first time? Wow, look, stand up. Oh, my goodness. That is exciting. Wow, that is very fun. So glad you're here, and I hope that you will consider it a blessing by the time you leave this room today and take God with you as you go. Of course, there wouldn't be much reason to come if all you got to do is hear me stay away from the mic and sing Jesus Loves Me, but we have women here today who are giving unselfishly of their time, and it will be wonderful to see how throughout the summer God brings just the person you need to hear on that particular day. We also appreciate greatly that Miami Valley Christian Academy allows us to use their facility. It's a great place to be. We've been in several locations if you've been here over the years. And this morning, I would like to welcome the Board of Trustees Chair of MVCA, Carla Wood, to welcome us.
Well, the Academy greatly appreciates you ladies being here in the summer because you keep the spirit flowing during the summer months. We keep it flowing from August until May, and then you guys pick up the baton, and you keep the worship going and the reading of the scripture and the fellowship going. So we greatly appreciate you here. And if you don't know us, we have preschool through 12th grade, and I have three students that have been here, and I'm going to steal your little joke about me. So my last just graduated this year, so I'm very happy that he started here in kindergarten and went all the way through, and I got to give each student, we have a senior chapel, and each student, because we have 33 graduates this year, each one gets to ask their favorite teacher or whoever meant the most to them or impacted their life to write a letter to them and read it to them. And then everyone comes together, and that's a big chapel. And that is probably one of the most moving things that we do all year long. And all three, and actually I have four kids because I have an adopted one, but all four of my kids ask me to write a letter about them and read to them. And it's always tricky when you ask me to do that because I tend to embarrass them just a little bit. And so he was really scared this year when I read his letter. But the one thing I said about him was that, you know, we came to Miami Valley and he never had a wandering heart. He never wanted to leave. And I was so grateful for that. And I said, Evan, you've got good wisdom and discernment because this was a great place. So we just welcome you all here, and we're very grateful that you're here today.
Thank you so much. As you may have already discovered, we've got some new things happening this year. First of all, and I think this has been maybe a too well-kept secret, we're trying to start earlier so that we can get the morning going. So we appreciate your being here and getting here even earlier to fellowship. We certainly have nice refreshments that you're welcome to continue to enjoy, but just do so quietly. The other thing that we really appreciate is your feedback. And so this year we're intentional about what it is that you like, how we can make improvements. So you will find a comment sheet that's in the back. And I think those of you at tables have extra sheets that you could pass on to people in the chairs so that you have a sheet that looks like this. You can get more either at the back door, the main door here, or at the sign-in. Maybe some of you got them there. If you could take time to just give us your comments, we would really appreciate it. Maybe God has put it on your heart that, you know, I'd like to be here and volunteer in some way. This is your opportunity, and we promise that we will get back to you. So that is a new thing. Also, we are with it, ladies. We now have an Instagram presence. So please like us on Instagram, and you'll get information from time to time. That's in addition to our website, and there are little cards telling about the website address and so forth on the back table there. We also have come to age and have our own bank account now. So as you can imagine, this not only takes a lot of people, but there are expenses that we incur doing the ministry. Surprisingly, about to $2,000 a summer by the time we pay for the facility and do all those things that we need to do, including the coffee. Who would want to miss coffee? I don't care because I don't like coffee, but I understand it's pretty good. So hopefully you will enjoy that. But starting this year, then you can make your check if you would care to donate, and if God so leads you, you can make the check out to Outpost as opposed to an individual as we have done in the past. So we thank you in advance for your generosity. Covet your prayers as much as anything, that's for sure. You may have noticed, although I don't know how many young moms are here, we do not have child care any longer. That was an expense that was a hard decision to make, but we'll try it this year, and if popular demand brings it back, that will be God's will. So, some more housekeeping items. One ringy dingy is fine. I know some of you have lovely ringtones, but probably that's not the best thing to do during a program. So if you just take a moment to silence your cell phones, that would be great. We also have restrooms that if you go out the main door here off to the left or far to the right, you can find restrooms. There is a great book table in the back, and you can see it just overflowing with books. Those are free for your taking. So I know that Kristen, our speaker, even brought some to donate today and had a video in with it. Please take advantage of that. What great summer reading. And I can't promise you that I can't, well, I know I can't promise you. I haven't read those books, but I bet they're good or they wouldn't be there. We're trusting God for that, certainly. There's also the side table here and one in the back where you can pick up the brochures for both the Cincinnati Outpost and the Northern Kentucky Outpost. Cincinnati meets 5 more Thursdays in the morning, whereas the Outpost in its 10th year already in Northern Kentucky meets in the evening. So that's a nice option for working people, and it's not that far away. So please feel free to look at that. So I think the details are mostly out of the way, and we really want to refocus our attention now on what God has in store for us this morning. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, dear Father, we look forward to what you will do in this room this morning, how your Spirit will fill us and take us to a higher place. We know that you have already woven together the fellowship, the scripture, the music, and the message. We ask that you help us clear our minds of distractions, that you open our eyes and ears to what you would have us see and hear. We ask this in the precious name of your Son who died that we may have eternal life. Amen. So I don't know if any of you have ever thought of the word called. I mean, we've heard called since we were children. Perhaps your mom would call you to dinner, Joyce, get in here. Does that sound familiar? Or you'd get called in from recess. That was never a favorite. Came in all sweaty and bedraggled. Or you'd get called to answer a question in class, and you were sure hoping you had your answer in mind. Then, as we became teenagers, wasn't it great to get called to the phone? And it could be your favorite girlfriend, or, oh my gosh, maybe it was Ricky Cheek. Oh, that would be wonderful. Then, sometimes, I would also get called on the carpet. And anybody that lived in my house knows that if you break curfew, there are consequences. I did start realizing, though, as time went on, that called had a different word for some people. I remember Miss Aller, my eighth grade English teacher, saying she was called to work with teenagers. Then I remember a speaker at our church who said he was called to be a missionary in Africa. I'm thinking, so who's calling him? I hope I don't get that call. As I matured in my faith and learned more about God and his word, I came to understand that God has a purpose for each one of us. And as we hear his voice, listen to what he has in store for us, then we can be called to that which God has put in front of us to fulfill the purposes he created us for. So this morning, I'm really anxious to hear how the women who are here that have been given talents by the Lord, how they will bless us by being called here this morning. So it is without further ado then that it's my pleasure, first of all, to introduce our scripture reader, Beth Spotts. Beth is the mother of two children. She was raised in the church and became a born-again believer about 23 years ago. She is a member of Northeast Women's Bible Study and attends the study in Indian Hill. A fact that you wouldn't have known about her is that she spent her first grade year in a wheelchair. And I'm anxious to know more about that. So when Beth leaves this morning, maybe we'll have a chance to talk more. Our vocalist today is Carla Wood, and we greatly appreciate that Carla was willing to wear two hats today. She filled in for us at the last moment for our singer, Lauren Yoxheimer, a young mother who had a child in the hospital over the weekend, another sick child, and she has strep throat. So she was very disappointed not to be here. And I promised her that we would keep her in our prayers and on our list. So come again next year, and you hopefully will hear Lauren of good voice. Our vocalist today, as I mentioned, is Carla, and she's married to Chip Wood. And as she mentioned, she has three children, all of whom have graduated from MVCA. So she's no stranger to this building or to many of you. I love that she feels that her life calling was to be dedicated to ministry as a teacher, a blogger, author, life coach, and most importantly, an intercessory prayer warrior. So please join me now in welcoming Beth and Carla.
This first song, I'd like you all to join with me, and we'll sing it together. If you wouldn't mind standing, I think that always helps everyone. And we'll just worship the Lord together. And as soon as Lisa has everything ready, she'll start for us. I think you all know it, Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. Lord's promised.
Wait, we get it. I think we need to start right here.
The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, an unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine, will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Beautiful ladies, thank you.
Physically or height challenge, so I'll have to bring the mic down. Okay. So the verse I have selected is Psalm 119, 165, King James Version. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So this verse says nothing, nothing, nothing shall offend us if we love God's law. And nothing means nothing. Jesus died for my sins, and He also died for the sins of anyone who does something that might offend me. So when I get offended, I feel it's like I'm slapping Jesus across the face and telling Him He died for nothing. So our speaker today works with teenagers. And when my son was 18 or 19, his car was broken down, so I had to transport him to a summer class. When I went to pick him up, we had miscommunicated, and we were each waiting in a different place. When we finally caught up with each other, he was furious with me and was very nasty to me verbally and was cussing me out. My Christian friends had been telling me I needed to set boundaries with my son, not let him talk to me that way. But all of a sudden, God reminded me of Psalm 119, 165, King James Version. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. All of a sudden, I had such peace and knew I didn't need to be offended by what my son had just said because, yay, my God was in control and He was going to take care of this situation. So on the way home, in the car. My son was totally silent, and I kept my mouth shut. Finally, without my asking him, he started talking to me and saying why he was keeping quiet, because he knew that if he had started talking to me, he was going to say really bad stuff to me. And so then he just started really talking to me, and it was a great conversation. So I want to praise God that he had given me Psalm 119, 165, King James Version. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. If I had reacted to my son when he had been angry, I would have missed out on this great conversation with him. So I challenge you all to remember this verse next time something or someone ticks you off, makes you upset, resentful, annoyed, or offended. If you love God's law, if you love God's law, then you're going to have the peace of God, and then nothing will offend you.
We thank one another. We thank both Beth and Carla for being with us and blessing us. I forgot to mention Carla's fun fact. I was going to say it was her third child graduating from MVCA, but I happen to know something else, too, that I will be curious to ask her about later, and that is she shared that she and her husband had been in Denver snowmobiling and had kind of tumbled down the side of a mountain. Is that right? So he drove them off a mountain. But then she also said he said it was her fault because she didn't lean the right way. So maybe Psalm that Beth shared is in line here. Who knows? So we do have interesting backstories, don't we? Kristen, actually, I'll start with her backstory because this is one that I'm going, nah, I don't want to do that one either. She has actually jumped out of an airplane 13 times for fun. I'm not getting the fun. I hope she, apparently she must have had a parachute because she's here today. But doesn't sound all that great to me. So Kristen's been married 29 years and has a son and a daughter. Although she was born and raised in the church, she said she truly welcomed Jesus into her heart later. She states that it's the study of the Word that has influenced her in the most in her relationship with the Lord. And that is the reason we do Bible studies all winter long, because there's nothing that takes the place of God's Word. She first took disciple Bible study at her church and now is involved in BSF, Bible Study Fellowship, that many of you are familiar with. She says this keeps her focused on him when it is so easy to be focused on herself. Does that ring a bell with anyone? Kristen also shared that she has the God-given spiritual gift of encouragement, which she has used throughout her adult life encouraging teens. So it's no surprise then that this has been a theme throughout her professional and volunteer career, and that she now is the director of Maximum Freedom that empowers and serves teens. In her free time, besides jumping out of airplanes, she also likes to read on her deck, which she calls her sanctuary. And there she meditates on God's word. I know she's a journaler, which I admire. She also just likes being outdoors in general. But she's always up for going to a good movie with her husband, too. So we are very pleased to have Kristen here this morning as she shares her journey of reliance on the Holy Spirit for strength and guidance. Please welcome with me Kristen Smith.
Sorry, this is the hard part for me. Okay, there. I knew that was quite strong. Thank you, everyone. I am really overjoyed to be here. Can you hear me? Did I do that right? I'm going to take a sip of water. That's better. truly overjoyed to be here and to share my story. I've been in your seat before as people share stories, and I always wondered, when is God going to call me to share my story? And I'm just overjoyed and thrilled about this opportunity, and thank you, Danny, for reaching out to me. So I don't have an incredible story for you, just preparing you. The story I'm going to share is an incredible God that works through an ordinary life, which is mine. And so what I'm going to share is a story of redemption that leads to a passion. And God's perfect timing and loving calling that leads to a trusting relationship with him. That's what I want to share with you today. So, calling into the known. Next slide. You may hear lots of exciting things like women that have been called to Africa, right? You just shared that. And that seems many times like God calling you out of your comfort zone. God knew me well, and he loves me so much. He called me into the known first. He called me into what I knew. That would change later, but he knew that I loved working with teens. And from the moment I was a teenager until today, that's what I have done. Whether it be being a camp counselor or directing the camp or teaching biology in high school or being a director of teenagers at the museum or the youth director at my church or even many years of volunteering with the youth there. And then finally working with Maximum Freedom. Teens are my focus. They're what I love. And he let me do that. And anyone who knows me knows that I'm an open book. And today I'm literally opening my book. I brought my journals to demonstrate the awesome timing and grace of God in my life. So if you show the, oh yeah, there's the next slide. There's the journal. I know you can't read it, so I'm going to read it for you. And I had a wonderful, wonderful trip through my journals yesterday to prepare for this speech, just looking back, because I know that it was there. I know what he did. On August 31st, 2014, I'm getting the year right, yes. I wrote this. Dear loving, all-knowing Father, my life is in your hands. Lord, guide me today and point me in the right direction for any future days you have planned for me. It is my desire to do your will. Show me what the details are to follow you. Call me, Lord, to what you want me to be doing. Pretty open prayer. Pretty much like, I'm out there for you, you got me. For me, this was a very bold prayer. Well, 5 days later, look at this. 5 days later, he answered that prayer, and bam, listen to this. I was reading from Isaiah 61, and the verse that really struck me was verse 3. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And so I wrote, God plants his anointed to show his splendor in all places, especially places where he is not already known. Like the strength and beauty of an oak tree, we are made by God with his strength and the garments of salvation and righteousness that he clothes us in. Righteousness displayed in beauty, like, I love this part, jewels on a bride. This is how God will make righteousness spring up before all nations. On this day, I interviewed for a job. I forgot to say that 2 days before that, right after I wrote that prayer, I got an email. I didn't have a job at that point. I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing. And so on August 31st, I wrote that prayer. And on September 1st, I got an email from my school. And it was through the PTF. The executive director of Maximum Freedom was looking for educators. And it showed what they needed. They needed teachers. They needed people who loved teenagers. They needed someone who had the background of science, because we teach about disease as part of what we teach. I had all of those things. I couldn't believe it. Isn't that, do you, is it just me, or when God answers a prayer for you, are you astounded every time? And then you're like, well, why is this surprising? This is what God does. And so it was incredible. So I called the woman right away. She wanted, you know, our conversation was wonderful. She wanted to meet with me right away. And so on September 5th, a few days later, I had an interview. And I started my morning in my journal. And I was probably running late, as I often do. And so I got off to my interview. And I got the job on the spot. I was so excited. So I came back and I wrote this. I hope to show God's beauty in public schools in my new position. Of course, you know, we don't talk about God in public schools. There's many amazing Christian teachers, right, in our public schools that show God's love every day. They do not have to say his name. And that's okay. That's completely okay. I pray my righteousness will be displayed beautifully like jewels of a bride, and that young people will wait, or will want that for their futures. And then I wrote this prayer. Thank you, Lord, for answering my prayer with this job opportunity. I pray that I will honor you with the way I teach. I pray that all the students in the classes will listen with open ears, and seeds of faith in you will be planted by hearing a message that is in accordance to your will. Let me be called an oak of righteousness, displayed for your splendor, planting seeds that will grow into new oaks. Let righteousness rule in your kingdom on earth. All glory to you forever. And it just, that just amazed me. He called me into the unknown, or excuse me, the known. Now, where does this passion that I have come from for this particular organization? Because what I would be doing is going into classrooms and making a case for why saving sex for marriage is a teen's best choice for reaching all their goals and dreams, that that's the best choice for them. It's their choice, but we would like to show them why it is their best choice. Well, the passion came from my experience as a teenager. Mistakes that I've made from ignorance, from just being completely naive. I love my parents dearly. They're wonderful. But their approach was, if you have any questions about this, please come talk to me. And some of you may have taken that approach. It's a hard topic to talk about with teenagers, okay? I never approached my mother, and if any of you took that approach, I would be surprised if a teenager initiated that questioning. These are tough topics, right? So I didn't know a whole lot. I didn't know what love was, certainly. I also didn't have much information about any particular reason why saving sex for marriage would be a good idea. They didn't even talk about it at my church. I grew up in the church. Nobody said that in church. Nobody told me a thing. So I'm not blaming everybody else. It was my choice, and I had sex for the first time at age 16. And when I met another boy at a summer camp, and he wanted to have sex, I actually didn't want to, and he forced me. And from that, I got an STD. And you would think any smart person would be out the door. I was at the summer camp all summer with this boy. He was the only boy. It was a girl summer camp. I was so naive. So, I don't know. I don't know. It points maybe to my background. But I was so in love with the idea of being in love. I didn't break up with him. I didn't break up with him. I guess the whole idea of being worshipped and by this young boy was so much more important to me than the realities of what was happening. And actually, I wasn't going to tell anyone in the world about this STD. In fact, I've told very few people in my life. So you guys are some of the first. And I needed him for that support. And boy, did he worship me after that. He couldn't believe I was keeping him, right? Well, years went by, off to college, and I had other relationships, and I really, again, never saw the reason not to have, you know, I had there was more sexual activity, and I didn't see why I should do otherwise. I just never considered there was another way. I really wish someone had told me. When I began teaching the curriculum for Maximum Freedom, I was in awe. It was hard to, like, sometimes I had to hold my excitement back as I'm sharing it with the students. One time, they don't want to hear, like, I wish I had this as a kid. You know, they don't want to hear that. They don't care about me. But I was, like, when I'd share certain things, I'm like, oh, if I had only known, if anyone had said that to me, it would have been completely different. Our program helps teens understand both the physical and the emotional consequences of teen sexual activity. Now, MFI, oh, did you already see MFI's mission statement? Okay, sorry. Let's go back. So our mission statement is empowering teens to reach their maximum potential through risk avoidance and sexual health education. Okay, and now the next slide. And next slide. Is, you probably can't read this, so I'll just say it out loud, but this is kind of an outline, and it's on our website, of some of the goals, the objectives in just our high school program. We've got a 7th grade program, an 8th grade program, and a high school, all aimed at those particular developmental stages. And so certainly we deal with physical consequences, sexually transmitted diseases, the difficulties of an unplanned pregnancy and how that can prevent goals and dreams from being reached. But the piece that a lot of students don't understand is the emotional impact as well, because they are in what they think love, right? They've got this, it's really infatuation, and we help them understand the difference between love and infatuation. And we help them understand what the physical steps, like the steps of physical intimacy, are. And we help them understand how they need to draw their own boundary. And that boundary doesn't change with how cute the guy is, right? The boundary is their boundary, and it doesn't change. And then how do they communicate that boundary? When do they communicate that boundary? We give them the skills, the refusal skills, as they're pressured. And one of our hands out gives all the pressure lines. And some of them go back to centuries, right? If you only loved me, if you really loved me, right, you would. I'm sure, I'm not going to ask, but I'm sure some of you heard that before. I did. And so we give students a lot of information that they can make informed decisions. Part of that is sharing the limitations of contraception. We don't go into a lot about it, but they have to know that there's limitations to it, that it only reduces risk. If they want to avoid risk and have their best shot at their future, that their choice is to save sex till marriage. And so that is our message. Our 4-day program, it's a 4-day program in schools, but we also go to other organizations as well. We've been in a teen center. We hope to be in churches, with youth groups. There's some other community organizations, City Gospel Mission, somebody mentioned before. We did a girls retreat with them before. So in the 4-day program, and sometimes we just can adjust it to less, we also tackle the topic of starting over. Renewed abstinence is another way of saying it, so that nobody sitting in the classroom is feeling left out. This choice is for everybody, despite what choices they've made in the past, and they can just move forward. It's only about the future. And so we talk about that future of maximum freedom when they decide to wait. Okay, I want to make sure. So even with only 4 days with the students, it's pretty amazing to see how connected the students can be to our educators. I experienced it myself. I know this past semester, our program director had a young girl, an eighth grader, come up to her and share that she had never... Can we go back and not do those yet? Thanks. Yeah, I don't have a slide for a while. Yeah, you can just leave that there for now. She came up to this educator and said that she had been sexually abused as a five-year-old. That's a whole other story, why she would never have said it to anyone before or recognized it before, but we point out that sexual abuse is not a choice, so we're talking about choices this week, and anybody who, and we define it and say, if this is true for anybody, they're a victim because there's still consequences, and those people need to talk to a trusted adult. That's who she went to, a woman she met just 4 days earlier. And so they were able to get her the help they needed from the counselor, like hook them up with a counselor. We don't do that part of it, but they go on and they get the help. And so we see some and hear some sad things as we discuss this topic, but it's certainly a step in the right direction. My favorite day is the day that I read through all the surveys. We give them a survey, and we ask for comments from them about the program. And so next slide is... I learned what a true relationship, can you hear me when I turn around, is, and how love can be used in a wrong way. And that is important to discuss before marriage. This comes from a ninth grade young man. Okay, next slide. I will set boundaries for myself and not be afraid to say no. I realize I need self-control, not to be afraid. Oops. I made an uncomfortable topic that most people don't want to talk about easy to understand. I liked this program because it actually made me talk to my parents about important things. I love that comment. I learned that it can affect you mentally and physically. One decision will change your life forever. It was very helpful. Most teachers and adults don't do that. Don't come out and show you in-depth truth like this. Oh my goodness, we love that comment. So I never took it seriously until now. Before the program, that's all right. And it really affected me. I'm sure it's hard to time that just right. Before the program, delaying sex didn't really matter. Now I am choosing to wait until marriage. This was a great program. Honestly, I would have never talked about this with anyone. This was super educating. As a result of this program, everything has changed. Everything. It's amazing. Before the program, I had no real opinion about waiting or not waiting to have sex. Now I know I'm waiting. As a result of this program, I won't let someone use me for sex. And those are our Maximum Freedom t-shirts on a class. I learned that I need to stop letting people walk over me. If I do this, I can set boundaries. And he said, already have. He did it right then. I thought that was kind of neat. I enjoyed the program. It opened my eyes to what good and bad sexual activity can have. I will choose abstinence and encourage others to choose this too until marriage when the time is right. I learned that you really need to have self-control as a teen and not get caught in the moment to do something you'd regret. Some of these I know by heart. I have decided to save myself for my future spouse. This is an amazing program. If I didn't learn this, then choices in the future could be regrettable. We need this program in other schools also. I just love, we get that so much. The educators gathered yesterday, and we said that. We notice how many times that comment comes up, that the kids are like, other people need this program. this needs to be in other schools. My friends need to hear this program. And so I was just in the best place I've ever been teaching this program. I loved it. But God had other plans for me. And it's because I was relying on my own skills and my knowledge and me. Like, I took control when I went into that classroom, and that was what I was doing. So he called me into the unknown, and that's when you have to give up some control and trust in him. This was going to take some time. He knew. He knew me well, right? So he started preparing back in 2013, before I even had the job as an educator. I found out I was going to need some surgery. They tried to remove a polyp from my small intestine by endoscopy, and they couldn't reach it. It was blocking the bile ducts and the pancreatic ducts, and it was going to be not good, and they didn't know for 100% that it wasn't cancerous, and it was a stressful time. And so I was in the hospital for a week, and I'm sure there are many out there who've had that hospital time. For me, it was difficult, but it was a blessing. I grew so close to Jesus. I mean, I almost literally felt him at my right hand while I was in the hospital. But I want to share with you an amazing story that happened just before the surgery. And God's timing is just incredible. It was my surgery was on a Friday, the 21st of February, 2014. And on that Wednesday, I got a call from the surgeon's office. I'm sorry, your insurance is not letting us go forward with this surgery. And I thought, what? Oh, no. We had just switched insurances. Now I need a primary care to sign off on it. I didn't have a primary care under my new insurance. I had 24 hours. They're like, well, we need this by Thursday by 4 o'clock. I'm like, I got to find a doctor. They got to get me in, and then they got to do the paperwork, and then they got to send it over. And I kicked into gear, took control, and, oh, I was even, like, calling all my prayer warriors. I was taking control of that, too. Like, who else can I call that will pray for me about this? And I was literally tied up in knots. Thankfully, I had the good sense to schedule a massage the day before my my surgery. I had gotten a little gift certificate for Christmas, and I had planned ahead of time. That was already scheduled. So I went in on that Thursday. I had my massage, and right in that quiet moment when there's that release, that stress is gone, it's quiet, I'm praying, the most amazing thing happened. God spoke to me. And I have never heard him. I never even thought this would ever be possible. I wondered if it would be possible. It's the kind of thing you hear about in the Bible. It was an audible voice. And this is what he said to me. Let's see. Next slide. I wrote about it in my Bible, or my journal, of that day. And you can turn to the next slide and see it. He said, Kristen Lombard Smith. He used my first name. He used my maiden name, and he used my last name, because he knows I would doubt, is this really him, or am I just thinking this? Kristen Lombard Smith, you have taken care of enough. I will take it from here. It was the most amazing feeling. Once again, just, why do I ever doubt that God's capable of doing these things, speaking to me in this way, taking care of what needed to be done? And so, of course, everything worked out. I got the doctor appointment. The paperwork got in time. I had my surgery. It was an incredible time with him. I relied on him. As you know, if you're in the hospital, you're pretty helpless. You have to let up and lose some control there. So that was wonderful. But those words weren't just for the week, right? They were for a lifetime. and I have to give up control in my life every day and trust in him. It was great preparation for what happened just a year later. Next slide. 12 months go by of me teaching passionately, okay, and loving every minute of it, but I wasn't giving up control, even with that great lesson. Even with him speaking to me, I just kept taking back the control. You know, just the skills, the knowledge. I knew what I was doing. I was a teacher. I always talk to teenagers. I know what I'm doing. And I wasn't going in that God confidence, going in knowing that he's working through me and being open to that. So in March 2015, I was sitting down at an educator meeting, and the former executive director informed the team that she was going to be moving to Atlanta. They were searching for a new executive director, and she wanted to let the team know first, offer up the position. I was like, yeah, right. No, thank you. I'm in my favorite job of my entire life. But God speaks loudly and with authority in other ways than an audible voice, right? This time it was my husband. And Danny is the only one in the room. Well, maybe Barb knows him a little bit, that knows my husband. But he is the most calm, mild-mannered, let me do anything I want to do type person. Like, I've gone on every retreat with the youth for 20 years, even with babies and young children. He always let me do what I wanted to do. When I told him about this, just, you know, as a funny story, like, haha, she wanted us to be an executive director of a nonprofit, he said, you must. You must go for that job. And I'm like, what are you? You're telling me what I got? Oh, yeah, you're my husband. Oh, okay, yeah, I guess. So I listened to him, but I had to check it out, make sure this was really right. So I checked it out in the Word, and he spoke through the Word, too. On June 15th, you can go to the next slide, I found myself doubting my abilities. And so those are my journal entries from that day. And so I wrote, where should I start? I was doubting my abilities. So he said, I said, he will see me through. I need to be still and focused on him and not tie my mind in a stress knot. He will be there. I must do the job in God confidence or something worse may happen to me. That was part of the scripture reading that day. Stress leads to all sorts of ailments. It is time to start trusting God the way I did when I applied for this job. So I did apply for the job. I'm sorry, I'm getting this a little out of order. And then I got that job, and then I thought, I can't do this job. That's where this journal is coming in. So I prayed this prayer. Creator God, you made us. You know us inside out. You know when we are sinning. Forgive me, God, for not trusting in you the past few days. As I envision doing my new job, I was envisioning going alone. I know I'm never alone. You called me to this, and you will go with me. Guide me, help me, hold my hand. Keep me in a state where I can use my mind and not have it be disabled by stress, the stress that comes with the sin of not trusting. Thank you for your forgiveness, mercy, and grace. Even as I write this, both you and I know there will be many times I need to return to this again. Help me go in God confidence as I do your work. Help me to establish your kingdom on earth. Protect my body and mind. Make good choices. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and for always being there. Just, again, felt so confirmed that this was going to be okay. And so we went into the unknown, and leading a nonprofit is truly something I knew nothing about. I'm not going to bore you with all the details of all the different things you have to do, things that I really knew nothing about. But I think I can sum it up with a story of doing the thing I like the least, and I probably know the least about, and that's budgets. Is anybody out there like that? I don't know budgets. So I was trying to balance the budget, and this was of a grant fund, and at the end of the year, everything had to work out to the penny, and there was just an error, and I could not find it. I sat there, and it was one of those days, like, just working in my own strength, and this wasn't even my strength. It was my weakness, working out of my own weakness, trying to do this. I went to bed. I couldn't figure it out. The next day, I was like, duh, I have to do this all differently, right? Start in the Word, pray about it, rely on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, I love the piece in Scripture, I can't remember where it tells us the Spirit that lives inside us is the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave. It doesn't get any more miraculous than that. If that Spirit has that power, and that power is in me, I can find this silly little error, and I can balance this budget, not by my power. And so I just, like, went downstairs. That's where my office is, in my basement. I never got dressed, which actually is most days, for the first half of the day. That's one of the benefits of working in a nonprofit, leading a nonprofit in your house. But I went down in my bathrobe and started working on it, and the error was revealed. And the budget was balanced. It took a very long, it took a long time to do the work. The first time I looked up at the clock, and this is uncharacteristic of me, but the very first time I looked up, it was 3:00. I hadn't eaten. That is very uncharacteristic of me. I do not miss a meal. I think my stomach is my clock. It tells me what time it is. So I was just in awe. I thought, he even did that to show me, look, you don't even need the strength of what you normally do when you're working in the Spirit. You don't need that food this morning because I've got you. We're going to get through that together. It was astounding. Now, get this. If that wasn't enough, on Sunday, that very Sunday, I was scheduled to teach Sunday school. And so I couldn't go to my normal service, which is at the same time as Sunday school. So I went to the chapel service, which I've been to before, but I normally don't go. Very small service at 8:30. And the chapel leader did something that I had not seen him do. They were focusing in on, what? Take a guess, Holy Spirit. And he asked, would anyone like to share how the Holy Spirit has worked in your life? I'm like, really? Thank you, God. This is awesome. I raised my hand. I stood up. I got to share my story. Like, the same week that it happened, I remembered more details. And it was just an incredible moment for me. It was just such a blessing. Like, when God gives you that moment to share how he's working in your life. And the people who heard it felt blessed, too. And that's the way it all works. And so that was a wonderful, wonderful moment for me. So he is so good. He not only provides power and the peace required, but he opens those doors for us to share with others of how he works in our lives. And so I stand before you today, and today's another blessing for me. He poured it out on me, the opportunity to share the beautiful ways he's worked in my life, how he takes mistakes and redeems them. I'm able to share with teens the very information I needed. Just amazing. amazing to me. All for his purpose. How his perfect timing, just if you keep a journal, you actually have a record of it. Of his perfect timing, how it draws us closer. Closer to that full, trusting relationship that he so desires. So it would not surprise me in the least, but actually I'll probably be astounded anyway, if the perfect timing placed someone here today, someone that maybe made similar mistakes in their past as me, maybe are feeling differently about it, I don't know. I can't find my page. Oh, here it is. Maybe they're struggling emotionally or spiritually from that memory. Someone who has had the opportunity to choose to turn their mistakes to a passion. It wouldn't surprise me if someone here is in a holding pattern, just wondering, where is God bringing me next? What prayer do I pray? What do I look for? Who's maybe someone here is being called by God into a future where they feel completely unequipped and they need to trust him. And then there may be some who have yet to experience that total euphoria that comes of leaning totally on him. And then, of course, there's many of you in your spiritual walks that is so true for. And in the fellowship time, all of you can share your stories with each other about that trust. God works that way extraordinarily in ordinary lives. Let's pray. Oh Lord, great peace we have because we love your law. Despite the culture which we live in with its temptations and trappings, help us and the young people of today. Help us so that nothing shall offend. And thank you, Lord, that before we knew you, when we stumbled, you gave us a chance to be redeemed. As we know you, you continue to pour out your grace and mercy on us. And if there's someone in here that doesn't know you, Lord, speak in their heart. Let this be the day they welcome you. Thank you for your callings in our lives. Thank you for loving us, to call us into places both known and unknown. I lift up any and every woman in this room that wants to take the next step of faith. Lead each of us, Lord. Lead us to a place of deepened trust. It is our desire to do your will for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And just a little commercial, let's see, last probably two slides. I think I forgot to say next slide. I think I have another one. But anyway, I just wanted to let you know that we have a table out back manned by a Maximum Freedom volunteer whom I love dearly, Barb Moon. And you can pick up information about the topic. Some of the brochures there are things we share with the students in our programs, and they may be helpful for you to share this message with people in your life, young people. You can also sign up for our newsletter that comes out quarterly. I think I forgot to bring that, but I think I'll get a sheet of paper so that you can do that. And there are also Maximum Freedom flyers, and I would really encourage you to take them, and if you think at your church, the youth group, or the parents could benefit from a program from Maximum Freedom, to hand it off to whomever is in charge of that, the youth pastor, the pastor, some director or something, that would be wonderful. We have adapted our classroom presentation for a church setting. So we have two types. We have the type where we don't talk about God still, actually, and it's free to any group of young people. And then we leave the spiritual component up to the church because, as we know, there are different ways of thinking about things. We also have one that has a spiritual component. where we can tie in God's plan and design for healthy relationships and messages of forgiveness and all that kind of things all tied together. And that, of course, would need to be paid for by the church. We are a nonprofit. We are not a ministry, but we certainly are able and equipped to do this work, and we are actually really excited to have that opportunity. So I hope you will speak with me about that or write down your interest at the table. But if you want to be an ambassador, go out and tell your church family about this, and I hope we'll be hearing from some youth groups. That would be wonderful. And let's see. Oh, and the parent workshops are pretty cool. They've been changed. I attempted one long ago, and it wasn't good, I didn't think. And the curriculum director has really expanded it. It helps empower and equip parents so they have the information they need, because sometimes it's just hard to approach because you feel like you don't know what you're talking about. And then also the communication skills and a setting to discuss this topic so you're ready to bring it to your families. So we have that to offer as well. So I just wanted to say thank you again, and thank you, God, for just giving me a chance to share my testimony, some things that are very important to me of the way that he blessed me and worked in my life. Thanks again.
That was a wonderful word, and it's amazing how God always works this. You ladies know the song I chose to close with is Holy Spirit, and it just ties in with her message. So if any of you are facing some unknowns or have some things, let's just take a moment, and you can sing this one with me too if you'd like, and let the Holy Spirit settle in on us and let him minister to you.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord, and we sing, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. And we sing, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Oh.
As Carla said, God always weaves the elements of the morning together. One would think that we got together and collaborated, but he does this when we listen to him. So I am just blown away once again by how God is present. His spirit fills this room, and we hope that that will go out of this room. We don't want to keep it here. We want to take it with us. So thank you, Kristen, also for your story. She will be in the back to talk with you afterward. As she mentioned, there she is. There is a fun little game out, kind of a Wheel of Fortune set to maximum freedom. Oh, and you can win a free T-shirt. There you go. So we're very grateful for you sharing how God called you and equipped you in your weakness. Please come next week. I think you will, many of you, be familiar with Vicky Gagne. She has in the past portrayed Tori Kinboom. I think that's Corey Tinboom, as well as Fanny Crosby. And this year she will portray the life of Anna the prophetess. Please bring a friend. It will be well worth your time. And remember the new starting time. Kristen, did you have something?
Yes, I forgot to say this, but we are hiring new educators. We just had one of our educators leave. She's going to Georgia to foster care. And we have
Thank you. Thank you so much. Ladies, we are blessed to be a blessing, so as we go forth today, let's keep that in mind. And now Becky Loke, who is one of our co-coordinators of our prayer ministry for Outpost, will come and conclude us with prayer.
Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you again for the blessing of being here, for the scripture laid before us, for the wonderful music, and especially for Kristen and her willingness to submit to you your control, and that she responded to the calling in her life. And Lord, we just pray if there is any woman in here this morning who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, we just ask that she would pray in her heart this prayer: Lord Jesus, I need you. You died on the cross for my sins, doing for me what I could not do for myself. I repent of my sins and now open the door of my life to receive you as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for forgiving my sins and giving me eternal life. I ask you to take control of my life and make me the kind of person you want me to be. In your name we pray, amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, or you're not sure what it really means to be a Christ follower, you're welcome to come up and speak with me or anyone else here on the prayer team or the outpost team. And we also have this special little gift for you today by Andy Stanley. And we'd love for you to have that. So you can come see any of us. And thank you again for coming this week. We hope to see you all again next week.